3, 2, 1. Hello. Oh. You just did like you were gonna do a Z snap. Yes, girl.
3, 2, 1. Hello.
Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
Thanks so much for being with us today. Who are we? Well, let me tell you, that's Sarah, and she loves books.
And that's Hope. She likes snapping and talking to me about books.
My two favorite pastimes. One, snapping. Two, talking to Sarah about books.
Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them. And I am chomping at the bit today. I'm chomping at the bit to talk about today's book.
I can't wait.
I am worried that, first of all, I forgot to address this weeks ago, which is that you are joining book clubs. Which is earth-shattering information.
Listened to one audiobook, but read two other books. I just finished one yesterday.
What did you finish yesterday?
It's a book called Clara and the Sun, and it was very good and very interesting.
Nice.
I read The Nightingale.
Yes.
And it was also very good, but very stressful.
Yes, yes. Also a war book that... maybe a little too real right now.
Mm-hmm. Before that, we did Buried a Crime, and I had already read that book. That's an excellent book. And the first book we did was Atomic Habits, Take It or Leave It.
No, I think it's criminal to do like self-help, like reflective pieces for book club.
And in January, completely unavailable in any library. Everyone's trying to build Atomic Habits in January.
Year's resolutions.
Come on.
We know a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. We do have a book about New Year's resolution smut, if you guys would like to. I can't remember. Resolution Revolution by Evie Mitchell, I think. I can't remember what episode, but you should go back and listen to that because she goes and tries new things and gets a hot daddy lumberjack.
Which is great.
So
my dogs are trying to enter this office. They're so excited for this podcast.
Well, they should be because I
closed the door and Ruthie was like, let me in immediately.
Do you need to let her in?
Herself in.
Oh, good.
Don't worry.
Yes. You know what? Independent children are what we need in today's America. Okay. So the headline. Can you tell where this is going?
Yeah.
The title of this book might be too long to even put. I don't know how many characters we're allowed to put on our podcast episode titles.
It'll be fun to find out.
Yes.
Where the limit is.
We might need to find another way to word this, but big drum roll. This is journalist pounded by the physical manifestation of an egregiously mishandled group text. And then like in subtext from members of the Trump. TROMP administration containing highly sensitive government information.
Wow.
By Chuck Tingle.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
Mm-mm, no.
Sarah.
Yeah. Yes.
My bakery colleagues have been talking about Chuck Tingle.
Good.
For such a long time. I haven't read a Chuck Tingle. This is the first time we've done a Chuck Tingle on the podcast.
And it won't be the last.
Good. Everyone is going to be so excited, specifically at the bakery where I work.
Yes.
At least one person is going to be so excited at the bakery where I work.
Well, Chuck Tingle is quite the known smut writer, erotica writer, if you want to. You know, he, first of all, does public events and he'll wear a pink bag over his head with cutouts for the eyes and mouth so that like he can, because like he has his identity hidden. And so, yes, I don't know how to explain like the fandom behind Chuck Tingle. And I now understand it after reading this beautiful 17-page book that is not at all based on current events.
No.
But if it happened to be based on current events. I will have you do your research here in a minute. Okay. And
you let me know when.
Yes.
If it happened to be, I have some research pertaining to something that recently happened. It might not be related to the book.
No,
it's just information I'm going to toss our way.
Yeah. But before we get into it, first of all, content warning, sexual content. That's all we got today. Unless you're like, political stuff kind of upsets me right now. But as I told Hope, I think we all need a giggle. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think we all need a little giggle right now where we can get them. And today, hopefully, will be big giggles all around. No matter if you're ready for political talk or not ready for political talk, I think we can all giggle a little bit.
Yeah.
On StoryGraph, it has a 4. On Goodreads, it has a 4.56.
Wow.
So high rankings all around, which typically we have historically said that, you know, if it has a low rating, we feel very good about it.
I'm interested to know how many ratings there have been and also how long this has been in existence, given the events that happened in real life, but definitely are not the same as the ones that are happening in this book.
It does have 9 ratings on Goodreads. I'm looking for the date of publication. March 25th. So what? It's been out for like 2 weeks.
Within the last like week or two, right?
Yeah. So we're pretty good.
Hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses. Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about Chuck Tingle. Chuck Tingle is a USA Today bestselling author, as well as a 2-time Hugo Award finalist and a Bram Stoker Award nominee. He is a mysterious force of energy behind sunglasses and a pink mask. He is also an anonymous author of romance, horror, and fantasy. Chuck was born in the home of Truth, Utah, and now lives in Los Angeles. Chuck writes to prove love is real, because love is the most important tool we have when resisting the endless cosmic void. Not everything people say about Chuck is true, but the most important parts are.
I'm so excited.
Aren't you ecstatic?
If Chuck Tingle finds out about this episode of this podcast, I'll throw up. I'm Chuck, so excited.
What
I'm
if Chuck's listening?
Out.
Chuck's listening and he's like, I don't want to make her throw up. And then just like, stops listening.
Just will not interact with these people. Just like, one of them like, might throw up about it.
He's like, I'm not going to be responsible for vomit in any place of this universe.
I'm so excited.
So I would like you, if there were to be a current event that happened to be affiliated with this, I don't know, title of this book, would you mind sharing what that event would possibly be?
Okay, so look, this is a safe space. I hope you know that. You, Sarah, you, the listener, I hope we all know that you can come here.
Unless,
and you can be honest with me.
Unless you're fearful of throw up, then Chuck Tingle, please stop listening.
Unless you're concerned that my enthusiasm will result in my own vomit. This is a safe place. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. And I just want them to be answered honestly. I'll be honest too. Have you ever been like, have you ever been talking to shit to someone via like text or a message? Specifically on a phone, but then you send it and you're like, oh shit, I just sent that to the person I am texting shit about. Have you ever been in that scenario? Because I'll say I have, if it makes anyone comfortable. I just want to know if you've been in a situation similar to that.
Yes, but I've been in a more petrifying situation, which is that I was talking to my side boy, and he didn't believe something I said, so I screenshotted an earlier sexual conversation we had been having and sent it back to him. And then I forgot that I had that screenshot in my photos. And then I was going to send something to my dad, and I thought it was the last thing I had in my folder.
Boy.
And then I accidentally sent my dad and my stepmom a screenshot of a conversation with
spicy meatballs.
No, that was the most petrifying thing I've ever had happen.
I've just straight up been talking shit about a terrible college roommate and sent it to her.
Look, sometimes people need to handle the truth.
Just, it's relatable. It's a relatable situation, right?
Yeah.
Similarly, just a second one real quick. Have you ever, you know, maybe had a best friend that you work with? And I know this is a stretch for us. And so maybe you messaged them on like Outlook or perhaps Slack or wherever your like work communication is, just like regular stuff, not related to work. And then just kind of after the fact, been like, yikes, I probably shouldn't be having this conversation on work related communication platforms.
Absolutely.
I know I have.
Yes. And there. You and I got in the habit of using Facebook because we were on social media so much yes. for work. So that kind of got us around that problem a little
bit. Our friendship is the only reason I continue to have Facebook today.
Excellent. I'm so glad. We are keeping Meta from going under.
We simply can't be bothered to text each other.
I don't know why. It's how many years has this been? We just don't do it.
Anyway, we've all been in these scenarios, and that's basically what has happened with Signal and Pete Hegseth and the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic. Only instead of talking shit to a person about themselves, we were talking about maybe some secret war plans and strategies. And instead of texting them to the country we were sending it to, it's more like we accidentally had a random journalist be in that chat the whole time. And also, it was kind of like we were having this conversation in completely the wrong and most unprofessional and insecure platform that instead of maybe the appropriate one we could have been having it on instead. And who doesn't do that at work? Yeah. We all do. Well, essentially what had happened was the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, his name is Jeffrey Goldberg, got added to a message group chat titled Houthi PC Small Group on March 13th in the app Signal, which I don't use, but is an app. Do you know about Signal?
Yeah, thing? It's an encrypted app, which people were like, well, if it's encrypted, why is that not safe enough? Well, the White House was using Signal, but more for like, hey, we're having this luncheon in this room at this time. Uh-huh. What should we write you down for? Steak or chicken? Like, that was what they were using it for, and that was the appropriate use of it. It was not for what this was.
Yes.
Do you get into skiffs?
Not specifically. I was just going to kind of share generally more all of the friends that were in this group chat.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And lightly of the plans.
Yes.
So yeah, this group chat included important people you'd think would be in it, and then just that one chief editor-in-chief who shouldn't have been there. So like J.D. Vance was up in the group chat, Marco Rubio was up in the group chat, John Ratcliffe. We had Tulsi Gabbard. She's the national intelligence director at the moment. All kinds of people, not the president.
Yeah, not Trump.
Or I don't think Elon Musk as well. Two people excluded from the chat. And then maybe accidentally substituted with Jeffrey Goldberg. There must be someone who is supposed to be in the chat who either has a name a lot like Jeffrey or like Jeffrey, and or has a G last name like Goldberg, but not. And it's the only way I could think of that you'd accidentally add this man into your group chat.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that got mixed up. But I will say there was a really great meme online by a creator that was like, you know, there was a second group chat that was made that was like, were you in on the group chat? No, were you? No. And then they're pissed off that they weren't in on the group chat and they felt like they should have been. And I was like, true. That's absolutely true.
The infighting this must have spurred has to be insane.
Yes.
Anyway, so what were these messages that shouldn't have been sent to this editor-in-chief of a random newspaper? I won't get too into detail because it's like war adjacent and really devastating, but essentially very top secret information about some targets of the United States, some weapons the United States might use to deploy to attack those people, inappropriate emoji use, just in my personal opinion, in support of said plans. I believe there was the naming of a spy.
Oh, God.
All really, really public stuff that really shouldn't go to the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, who then posted an article that was like, I accidentally was included in war plans.
Yeah.
This has happened. The day after this story came out, I texted my siblings that I wanted to take 500 tanks to the invasion, and then I said, oh no, my war plans! I didn't mean to tell you!
You also posted on your Instagram story that, like, Deku was gonna post or send war plans or something. It was very funny.
Yeah, both dogs sent their war plans to every news outlet in town, which is deeply inappropriate.
Well, we send war plans over Facebook Messenger regularly. True. So we're even worse than these people, you know. It's
our strategy being that if the enemy just reads all of our stuff, they probably won't believe us for putting it on.
That's so true. It's that like reverse psychology thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, well, are they gonna do it?
Like, no, they wouldn't be talking about this to us.
No,
if they were really gonna do it, because surely they'd know we'd read it.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much what happened. The United States carried out this military strike, and It was a secret to everybody except the guy from the Atlantic who just got to be on that group chat. It's like I very frequently after leaving the news have been accidentally included on group texts of people at the news about doing news stuff because we use a lot of like reused phones in the newsroom. And phone numbers just get kind of mixed up amongst people. So I have frequently been roped into texts about news, breaking news coverage.
Yes.
Well out of being out of the newsroom. And it's kind of like that, only more like if the police department included me in a group text about plans they had for a thing they were doing. And I definitely shouldn't know about it because I am not the police.
Yes. As somebody who is a journalist and also is in the political atmosphere, this was one of like the most wild things to watch unroll. And I listened to an interview by the New York Times with the editor of the Atlantic. And it was just so interesting to hear, you know, he's been doing this for decades. He's been in politics for decades. And so he's like, what, like the ethics even around so him choosing to leave the group chat? Because he chose him after speaking with a bunch of people, he chose to leave, which I think you kind of got to do at that point.
The way I would die when you get the notification or you see the little like update that says someone has left a group chat that you didn't know was in the group chat in the first place. Horrifying.
Exactly. But also this article was going to come out either way. They weren't going to keep messaging this group chat, you know, that wasn't going to happen. So it was like, it was cleaner for him to wash his hands of this, you know, than to keep trying to stay on. But I do, you know, thank God it fell into the hands of somebody who was responsible with the information than somebody who, like, I don't know, could have sold that information to foreign adversaries. Like,
or somebody like me whose immediate thought was, what GIF would I send into the group chat?
Stop.
After the war plans were sent to let them know that I've also been here the whole time.
It's like that. What if you sent right before you left the group chat that Homer Simpson gift that was like
that? Just slowly, like, disappearing into the bush. And then you leave the group
chat. And then you're like, see you guys.
Because I don't know what sort of punishment it would result for me personally as a journalist if I had done that and was in this man's shoes, but I would have done, like, I would have left the group chat, but I would have sent a really funny GIF not unlike that one before.
Yes. Or I'd be like, I love a group project, like that's what I would have sent, like,
or like just the big side eye emojis, yeah, and nothing else. And then I leave.
But for those who don't know, I think it's important to realize, like, I'm also a professor, so like I had to explain this to my students, that SCIFs, which is an acronym, and it talks about like a secure line to talk about things like this. People will have SCIFs set up in their house, like in the basement, and it's a way they build it out, literally physically build it out, so that there's no way that people can like eavesdrop, right, or bug or spy or anything like that. But they have to like get on the phone and talk about these things, or have to be in a room with each other. So that's why even though it's an encrypted quote unquote app,
right,
it's also still an app owned by a private company that you're talking about these things. So
right.
Yeah.
In the same way that when Snapchat first came out, we're like, yeah, we can all definitely send nudes on Snapchat. No one's going to keep them or see them other than the person. Like, of course, that's not true.
No. So, and like, it was baffling to me also as somebody in the news who watched Pete Hegseth say repeatedly, you know, we didn't talk about war plans. When are you talking? We didn't talk about war plans. And I'm like, they literally sent an itinerary of what happened.
It's like a remix of Shaggy's It Wasn't Me, but about whether or not you text war plans in a group chat.
Yeah. So thank you so much for giving us a little recap.
Yeah, you're welcome for this completely irrelevant news update. I can't wait to hear about the totally unrelated story we're about to talk about.
Well, just a reminder, our headline is journalist pounded by the physical manifestation of an egregiously mishandled group text. And then the subhead is, it's very small, from members of the Trump. I feel like I have to emphasize the Trump. O in there. Trump.
It's not, it's spelled different.
Yes. containing highly sensitive government information. Okay. So we enter on a chaotic newsroom where Jeff, senior editor of the Atlantica magazine, is confronted by his boss, Gorbin. Their relationship isn't the best because Jeff is a journalist through and through, while Gorbin, I want to emphasize how bad this name is. Gorbin is a businessman and really only sees kind of the dollar signs, right?
Look, we've been there.
Oh, have we've been there. Gorbin pulls Jeff aside for a meeting, noting that it seems like a busy day. Quote, lots of typing going on, people getting it done, end quote. You know that that is something we, somebody who we formerly worked for, would have absolutely said. That specific phrasing.
Just my
what are you trying to say here?
I was just thinking about a specific instance post tornadoes, and I'm just gonna cut it off.
We'll talk about it off air. We could be sued for so many things in this specific episode.
I'm a humble baker. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, so but that's like the douchiest thing you could say. Lots of typing going on. People really getting it done.
But to see people actively doing a lot of work and then to jauntily come down and be like, wow, everyone's working so hard down here is the most annoying
thing. Oh my gosh. Coming down from your corner office, like, okay, yeah, right. Jeff notes that the quantity does not mean that it has high quality. But Gorbin says, you know, that Jeff really needs to release another article because he's been dry for a while. Like, you know, Jeff has not put out anything big recently. Sure. And so Gorbin's like, okay, let's get on it, right? Like, we've got money to make.
Time is money.
I'm going to emphasize now that the administration they are going to talk about is the Tromp, T-R-O-M-P. Mm-hmm. I'm scared to say it wrong, so I'm going to say T. Because I am so scared that I'm emphasizing it weird.
Say it super, super weird.
So moving on, I'm going to only call it T so that I don't slip up in case this were, I don't know, based on any real events.
Sure, but every time you say that, I'm going to say, what do you mean the Trump administration?
Okay, well, you're going to be saying that a lot. Please, God. Okay, so Jeff says, quote, I know we're here to follow the news, but with T in office, things have just gotten so absurd all the time. Like there's simultaneously too much to cover and yet absolutely nothing worth writing about. Most of it has no substance at all. Renaming Greenland to Red, White, and Blue Land? What are we supposed to do with this shit?
I'm so happy to be immersed in a completely fictional and unrelatable world. Solely different from our own.
It's so, I don't know, dystopian. Not even,
I've really disassociated into a new realm different from my own.
Oh, just wait. It gets so much better. Okay. So Jeff feels like he's going to have a break really soon. He's like, I'm going to get something big, you know, and Gorbin's like, that's lovely, but you better find something in the next week or else I'm going to replace you with somebody else who can do their job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then we have a very reflective moment where Jeff is sitting in his office just thinking about how he wants to do great journalism. And, you know, it's not every day that something just falls into your lap. Then while he's contemplating this, his phone buzzes with a message, quote, yo, this is Pete from the pool party.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know, Pete from the pool party.
Jeff doesn't know this number, but he realizes it's in with a bunch of other contacts, and immediately he thinks it's a prank because he hasn't even been to any pool parties lately, and he doesn't even know a Pete.
No. So, I don't know a single Pete, especially not ones who has invited me to any recent pool parties.
Okay, but you've seen those scams where people will text you like they know you, and it's like, hey, sure. I have that recipe, and they're relying on you being nice, and I that's immediately what I would think it is.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the second I get a message of any kind from some number that's not under a person's name on my phone, I will delete it.
Yes. So Jeff asks the group chat, Pete who? A response comes, Pete Hedge, Secretary of Defending Dad Ass.
Yep. Sorry, I'm nodding my head. Yes.
She's nodding so hard. I'm just
being like, of course.
Yes. So people are reacting to the messages and like GIFs and whatnot. And one person sends a meme of Elno Mork jumping awkwardly.
Mm-hmm. Not Elno Mork.
Not Elno.
So so embarrassing. I heard he recently tried to buy an election.
If we were to write Elno's character, we would just make him such, you know, a douchebag who, I don't know, tries to run a coup against the government. Crazy. So anyway, but after looking at some of the contacts, Jeff realizes that some of them are real because these are contacts of high up leadership that he's confirmed, and he's used these numbers for other stories he's worked on.
Sure.
So maybe this could be Pete Hedge, the defense of that ass. You know? So he's screenshotting. He's screen recording. He's backing them up on servers. And he's like, I need to get a story from this, right?
I need to find out about the pool party he thinks I was at.
What pool party did they have? Why wasn't I really invited? One person says, quote, T made me so happy today. He let me kiss his nip naps in the Oval Office. And then someone else responds, good job, Elno. You are a really great nip nap pamper.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they're just high-fiving. It's definitely the boys club in here.
Gotta get those nip naps.
You know, it's like locker room talk for sure. Mm-hmm. And Jeff thinks to himself, quote, the government security implications here are astonishing, a truly shocking display of ineptitude for a group of people who have already shown themselves to be just as incompetent as they come. I didn't think that the T administration had it in them to be this stupid, but now they're striving to outdo themselves. I feel for you, Jeff. I feel for you.
I don't know what you mean, Sarah. This is completely unrelated to current events.
As we've established numerous times now, but...
Suspend your disbelief, yeah. Sarah. Stuff like this doesn't happen in real
life. No, it never happens. And, you know, even Jeff is thinking this is not real. There's no way this is real. This is just a bunch of locker talk. And
not
then,
the defense of that ass.
And then a big file gets uploaded to the group chat containing hundreds of documents titled Top Secret Plans Do Not Share. This is serious. In case you were wondering.
So it's like in college when you save your final paper five times, so you keep saving it like final paper.
Final.
This one. This one, Hope. Final, absolute, ultimate,
the
final
real
paper.
Final.
This one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real final.
So this is obviously the Holy Grail, right? Jeff is hurrying around his office and he's like trying to get everything saved. He's like, I don't even know where to start. Like, this is a gold mine. And he hears a, hey, come from behind him.
Oh,
quote, I stop abruptly, then slowly turning to find an enormous phone is floating in my office, bathing me in the pale glow of his screen. The group text is emblazoned on his muscular chest.
Interesting.
You got any more thoughts?
No.
Okay. Got it.
A big, big cell phone. What
big,
I'm hearing
big
is
cell phone.
Big, big cell phone.
Do you think?
Big muscle cell phone.
Do you think that this is an Apple phone? It's got to be an Apple phone.
I mean, in my head it is because my phone is, so I'm just associating it with the thing that I already have.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff's like, quote, oh, hey, I didn't hear anyone come in. And the phone was like, quote, well, that's because I didn't come in. You manifested me. And then the phone goes on to explain, quote, I'm Humpler, the physical manifestation of this egregiously mishandled group text from members of the Humpler. T administration containing highly sensitive government information. He goes on to say, quote, sorry to interrupt. I don't really have much control over where I appear, you know? One minute I'm floating in the vastness of non-existence. The next minute I'm watching you fly around your office plugging in hard drives.
Oh my God, and, isn't that life though?
Yeah. And Jeff's like, well, it's great to see you, but like Jeff is so chill. He's like, it's so great to see you.
Yeah, no concerns about this manifestation whatsoever.
He's like, I'm honestly kind of in the middle of something. I really wish we could stay and chat, but like, I got work to do. And Humpler says, no, I totally understand. I'll just head out. And Jeff's like, you know, you just have to walk out this door, you know, go down the hallway. I can call you a cab if you want. And he's like, no, it's okay. You know? And then all of a sudden Jeff goes, wait, no, I can't have you leave. Quote, you're a breaking story. If you go out there, well, this isn't quite ready to publish just yet. I need to vet some things. So Humpler says, you know, I understand. I can stick around in here until you're ready.
Great.
Yeah. So he just hangs out.
You know how breaking news waits for you?
Yeah. Breaking news waits for you.
It's always been my experience. To be ready.
So Jeff is struggling with the story and Humpler notices from where he's sitting. And Jeff confides in Humpler that, you know, quote, the T administration is so terrible that nothing seems to matter. If everything is bad, then nothing seems to gain any traction. This one, though, this is something else. Moral of the story is that Jeff is so stressed and he feels like he can't even write this thing correctly. So Humpler asks, quote, you know what always helps me relax when I'm stressed out?
Is it fuck it?
Jeff's like, why don't you tell me, big boy? No, he didn't actually say that. But there's now tension, right? There's tension in the room.
Yeah, it's getting sexual a little bit.
While Jeff should be focusing on this story, he's now being seduced by this floating massive phone. And suddenly the tension breaks and they rush together from across the room in a passionate kiss.
That's beautiful. Well, what is he kissing? A flat screen? Does the screen have a face?
Will you wait a second?
I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
Quote, my hands get to work exploring the well-crafted design of his flat rectangular body, reaming, I don't know what I meant here, reaming up and down. Reaching up and down, maybe his smooth edge. Someone named the Tulse has been adding to the thread, but I ignore it, focusing instead on Humpler's muscular chest.
Not the Tulse.
The Tulse. Humpler then strips Jeff, and an enormous rod starts swelling from the front of Humpler's quote unquote body, extending off the screen. Okay.
Okay, if you say so.
No, like literally a penis just grows from the
screen.
The screen. And Jeff then goes down on Humpler. And Humpler's loving it, you know. And the foreplay just becomes so much for Jeff that he demands, quote, fuck me. I need that absurdly irresponsible group text fuck up deep inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a completely unrelatable feeling to anything I've ever felt.
I want to get fucked by an... No, I'm not going to say it. I thought I'd go there, and then I was like, I don't want that recorded in history.
Eject button. Immediate abort mission.
So he then gets on all fours and crawls and then spanks himself. And Humpler's like, I guess. And then Humpler goes...
That's also what I felt like. I guess.
I have to say, as somebody who read this firsthand... I can say that Humpler, like, not that Humpler's not into it, but it feels like Jeff is a little too enthusiastic, whereas Humpler's like, I guess, like, we're doing this.
I can tell that Jeff's been dry for a story for a while.
Yeah, he has been. He wants this so bad. So Humpler floats up behind him, and they proceed to have anal sex. And they both have wonderful orgasms, in which also Jeff has an orgasm that spills onto the carpet of his office. And I don't know how you explain that to HR. I will say that we do know that the phone does, sorry, Humpler, does ejaculate inside of Jeff. We don't know any context behind that ejaculation, though.
A penis just protruded from a flat phone screen. I don't even know what to say anymore.
I don't even know what liquid would come from. Yeah.
If there you guys are no liquid in a phone.
No. If you guys are new to our podcast, there are a lot of times where they have crazy ejaculation or crazy penises. So I'm just saying, and sometimes we've argued like, no, we don't really need a have this description.
Right.
And I would argue that this is a time that we don't need to have a description. This is fine. There's so much unexplained in this 17 pages.
Let me explain why. In most situations, it's relatively obvious. In a situation where the love interest is, I don't know, an inanimate object, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like a phone.
Yeah.
I think you pretty specifically owe me the explanation of how this works.
Well, when we had the hockey stick, it wasn't anything. It was like a gust of cold air. Like,
it
which
was,
kind
but
of
we knew
sense.
That because it was explained to us that it was a cold gust of wind. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. So what I'm saying is, like, we could have not. Look, I don't want to tell Chuck Tingle how to do his job. Obviously, he's doing an extremely great job with these extraordinarily fiction pieces. fictional pieces. But I would say, you know, we could have done something with that, you know. I don't know what, again, I'm not a writer, so I wouldn't know what we would necessarily put in there, but we could have gotten a little creative there. You could have told us what kind of ejaculation this man had, this phone had, Humpler. Okay, back at it. Humpler, they get off the ground. They're cleaning up themselves. And then Humpler asks Jeff how he feels now. And Jeff says, ready to write.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hell we yeah. Now have a cut scene. So I have no clue what happened to Humpler. I don't know if we traded phone numbers. I don't know.
Unmanifested Humpler.
I don't know if he unmanifested. I don't know if he went down and got a cab. We have no clue. We never hear of Humpler again. Okay.
Devastating.
We only know now that Jeff has now press published on his story a few hours ago. And he's like, it's doing extremely well. Right. He gets a knock on his door from Gorbin. Gorbin sings his praises about how important and incredible this work was. And Jeff's now like really eager. He's like, you know, what do we need to do next? Do we need a follow up? Do we need to seek out comment from the White House? Like, what do we need to do? And Gorbin's like, yeah, don't worry about that. We have other people for that. We don't need you to do that. And Jeff is kind of like, that's my story. I should be doing the follow-ups. He's like, no, I need you on breaking news. And, you know, the T administration has already done other things that are more outrageous than that. So like, you just kind of need
disagree,
to keep going.
I disagree, but sure.
And Jeff says, quote, this is ridiculous. There's just too much bullshit. And then Gorbin breaks the fourth wall and says, quote, that's what Chuck Tingle said before he started writing this book. And look where we're at now. We're just about to cross 4,000 words. We're entering the falling action. We're wrapping things up. Yeah, it's hard right now. I'm not going to say that it isn't. But if Chuck Tingle can keep writing his nutty stories, then I think we can too.
Bless you, Chuck Tingle.
And then Jeff looks at him and says, what the fuck are you talking about? Who's Chuck Tingle? And Gorbin's like, just forget about it. And
then don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. And then he gives this beautiful mini monologue about how everyone needs to take care of themselves, recharge, do what they need to do. But then they need to go and get back on that horse and keep trudging. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of our book.
So clarifying question, does the phone have a face or no?
Okay, you're going to see a picture.
Okay.
So you can determine.
It's just tricky because I am trying to draw a picture and it's just
not a lot of. I would say yes.
Okay.
So that is our book. I will say, you know, the sex was very descriptive for a 17-page book. But I'll also say that, you know, there wasn't anything crazy kinky about it other than like the Tulse showing up on the screen and like, you know, a penis erecting out of a phone screen. There was no like, you know, crazy sex. So that's why I didn't give a ton of explanation to it. But diversity, first of all, we love a queer love story. That we don't know if this
we
was
know
love.
This phone is a man.
We do know that this phone has male genitals. We refer to Humpler as he, him, so I'm also assuming that it is a gay love story. But and I don't want to call it love because who knows, they might have just hooked up one time and went their separate ways.
A lust story.
It's a lust story at bare minimum. I will say, you know, this is the first time we've had things replicate, you know, real world life or life replicate art. Maybe
the book came first. I'm not going to
check the
date.
Chuck Tingle was working on this book and a certain Secretary of Defense said, you know what? That sounds like a great idea. We should do that.
You should do that. But there's no Humpler. Shit.
No. So plot, what are you going to give the plot for me?
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 because it's not that it's not good, it's just that it shouldn't be reality.
Oh, that's not really Chuck's the fault.
I know it's not Chuck Tingle's fault. Nothing is Chuck Tingle's fault.
No, we would never blame Chuck. I'll go with a 4 with you just because I would have loved to know how Jeff and Humpler ended things. Like, did they stay friends? Did he go into the abyss again?
Mm-hmm.
Did he get a place in Soho?
Can we see him? Is he unmanifested?
Yeah, I would like to know. Smut, 17 pages, erecting phone screen. I'm going to give it 4 again.
Sure. I'm down with the 4 as well. Yeah, that's crazy.
Cool. We have kind of a chaotic cover for you.
Okay.
Let
me find the link.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know how you wouldn't give this a 5. So,
oh my God.
Would you like to tell our audience what it looks like?
Yeah. Well, the majority, like the top third?
Yeah.
Is just all title, baby.
Yep.
Journalist pounded by the physical manifestation of an egregiously mishandled group text.
Yeah, from members of the
Trump administration containing highly sensitive government information. But after that, you get a shirtless, like a man, just a regular old dude. He's got some glasses on. That's how you know he works in government.
Yeah. No, he doesn't work in government.
Sorry, not in government, in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Clark Kent
had
glasses because he was in the news.
Yes.
Same deal. Yeah, and he's wearing shorts. I don't know what's going on. It's not important. Those are
pants, but whatever.
They sort of look like swim trunks.
This
is a tie happening. It's making me confused. Anyway, to the side of him is most definitely an iPhone.
Yes.
Is the first thing I'm going to say. That just in the middle of the screen, it does, like, the screen generally has a group chat, but then kind of over all the text is just a dude's whole face, just the face of a man and no other part of a man's body on a screen, which is great because then you can imagine in the white underneath him, just a penis comes out.
Yeah.
I assume it looks human because the face is just a regular human man's face. And then underneath that is all the accolades that Chuck Tingle deserves.
I will also say that they are in an office. Like, the background is an office.
Well, and that's obviously a newsroom.
Yes, that is clearly a newsroom and not a stock photo. I'm giving this a 5.
I'm also giving this a 5. And then I would like for you to go on Facebook Messenger and then rate the picture I've drawn and sent to you.
Oh my gosh, hold on. I need to get over to Facebook. Oh my Jesus Christ. Oh my God, you put the emojis in there. Okay. It is clearly better than what is on Chuck Tingle's cover because we do have abs
and a bulge.
And a growing bulge.
Way too close to the abs, I realized in hindsight. But
why?
I mean, like, down on paper, you can't undo it.
We don't know the anatomy of Humpler, truly.
Yeah. I would say a pretty handsome face, all things considered, but it's not like attached to a head in the kind of way that it sort of was on the original cover. That's
he does
sure.
have pecs, so mm-hmm. that's pretty
and
nice.
What's
too.
That? He's saying, I guess,
and he shrugs. You did give him arms, which he does not have.
I just wanted to definitely he doesn't have arms, but I wanted it to convey the tone of I guess,
like meh.
Yeah, it's I guess more we'll of have a metaphorical sex. Arms to let you know that the I guess is like with an implied shrug.
Yes. Precisely. Okay, so we have the exact same score. Let me get, because I'm so good at math, we both did an 86%. That's great, Chuck. We are so excited to do future books by you. Okay, what was your, say smut moment from the book?
A penis just grew out of a phone. I'm less concerned about the phone just manifesting big behind you and also that it was pretty sexy and horny kind of the whole time. I'm mostly concerned about the penis.
Yeah, I'm also concerned that here's my philosophical answer of this. Bear with me.
You've been philosophical, Sarah.
If I was, a journalist and I got this big of a story and then I'm giving a blowjob to that phone and I see like the Tulsa, like I'm seeing notifications pop up while I'm giving head.
That's true.
I would be so distracted and I'd be like, what'd they say now?
Wait, now what?
And then I feel like Humpler would look at me and be like, I feel like you're not really here with me. You know, no. I feel like you're not really present.
I guess I just have to assume that Humpler is so ding dang sexy that it is enough. It is whatever enough to distract you from breaking news would be.
Yeah, I suppose so. And I mean, like, if I'm recording everything. Which I think would be a lot
for us journalistically minded people, but.
Yes, that's so true. No, I will say that Jeff being so eager and feeling like Humpler was not as eager, but Jeff getting on all fours and spanking himself and like essentially being like, come get it, big boy. Like, it just was also like, okay, all right.
Right on.
Again, I also have questions about like, okay, Humpler doesn't have hands. So like, if he's taking it from behind, is he like holding your hips? Like, is there a force there or are you doing all the work? Is Humpler able to thrust?
Power bottom?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Are we reverse role playing? I don't know what we're doing here, but I've got I just want to know how they ended. I want to know if they went as friends, if they were like, this is the last time you see me, you know? I want to know
say. How. Maybe it was exactly what it needed to be and nothing more.
If the group text becomes inactive, is Humpler gone? If the group text is deleted, is he gone? Like,
is there any indication in the group chat that sex is occurring? Via Humpler?
I'd also be asking Humpler, have you fucked Pete? Did you fuck Pete Hedge? Like, have you showed up to other people and they've also found you irresistible?
I would bet not, though, because he was very specifically manifested by Jeff of the Atlantica, and maybe it's just kind of a Jeff-specific thing because he was just so eager for a story.
Let me make this so clear. Chuck Tingle, you are welcome on this podcast to come and tell us to fuck off and we will happily have you. Or you can come on this podcast and talk about this beautiful piece of art. But either way, we had a blast with it. Did we not?
I am so happy. Yes.
Just a little fun giggle here and there.
I've been eager at some point to encounter a Chuck Tingle. My bakery friends are going to be so excited.
Yeah. And there are so many. He has so many books. So we will come back to you, Chuck, in hopefully the near future. But in the meantime, you can find us, if you so choose, on TikTok and Instagram at SaySmutPodcast. Additionally, we'd love to hear your book recommendations. If you got some more Chuck Tingle options that you're like, no, this is the one you guys have to read, send those our way via email at SaySmutPodcast@gmail.com. And also drop us a rating or review on the podcast platform of your choosing.
Yeah.
We would love to connect with you guys. Otherwise, you know, be diligent about who you're including in your group chats.
Mm-hmm.
Stay aware. Take care of yourself.
No government secrets.
No, you guys. Also clean your phone screens, you know, make sure that they're nice and clean.
Just good habit. That's
just really good habit. And most of all, stay smutty.
Stay smutty. And bye-bye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.